tremendous football man. And I look forward to his takes on the Mike Miss show and when we could steal him here on the morning show. He, of course, from ESPN and our own Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline. Good morning, T-Mac.
Good morning, guys. Can you believe it's the last day of training camp today?
I know. I'm so excited, man.
Right here.
The season's creeping up.
I know. It's the greatest. Before we get into all the details, I'm dying to hear about Alshon Jeffrey. T-Mac, I just think they're... I mean, again, this is not a novel take or a hot take or anything like that. They just look really, really good. They're so deep, which is odd for a defending champion.
It is, something, man. I mean, when you're looking at the roster, just kind of sitting out there on a day-to-day basis, and, of course, you know, part of the job is trying to identify weaknesses and where do they need help and how are they going to get it and what are the areas of concern. I mean, they're just difficult to pick out right now because I think that Joe Douglas and Howie Roseman have done a really nice job of bringing in and securing talent on, obviously, with a Super Bowl championship team, but one that they added to and made sure that necessary pieces are in place to make a push for, you know, for a repeat here. So I agree. I mean, it's a really deep team. There's some, you know, injury concerns here and there that need to be addressed, but the roster's pretty stacked, no question.
What are you, we're talking about weaknesses and we were trying to dive into, I mean, linebacker depth, and that's really kind of it, kind of struggling. I don't know, youth at corner. I think they're pretty deep there, but they are young. What would you say would be those soft spots in the roster?
I mean, they are young at corner, but I wouldn't identify it as a weakness.
Yeah.
What I've watched this summer, and it seems like it's developing into a strength. They have a chance of having one of the best secondaries, I think, in the NFL. And that's in large part because of what we've seen out of Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby this summer. This is the best I've seen Darby for sure. And Mills seems to be taking another step up in his game. And then you have kind of this influx of talent as well with Sidney Jones. And even Avante Maddox, I think, has
been
a really
I like
nice
Avante
camp.
Maddox. He's had a nice camp. Even Busby's got good size. Like, I kind of like the way he uses his body. They're just really deep. Yeah, I was trying to come up with, you know, kind of soft spots or question marks, and the only one I can really come up with is linebacker depth.
No, I think you're right, and that's the one question because you're pretty solid there with Hicks and Bradham, and then who's going to run at will alongside them? In personal opinion, the eye test suggests that Kamu Grugier-Hill has been the best at that spot over the course of, you know, the first preseason game in this summer, but they've been really trying to work Nate Gary into that starting lineup. I'm wondering if it lasts that way, but that's definitely one where if you get a major injury to one of those key two guys, then where do you go? And that's where the Michael Kendricks thing could possibly come back and bite you a little bit. But yeah, I would say, I mean, other than that, there's nothing that's really glaring at.
Timmy, if we go to injuries, if we look at the Jason Peters, if we look at everybody that's coming back and Darren Sproles and so many important guys, are you confident that everybody's going to be pretty well ready to roll? I mean, obviously, we've all talked about Carson ad nauseum, but are you pretty confident everybody's going to be ready to roll come, say, opening night or pretty much right there?
No, I mean, I think it's case by case, Bob. I think that when you talk about Jason Peters, he's been on the field and he's looked good, and I would anticipate that he's on track to be there on week one. And Darren Sproles has done just about everything, and it's amazing. He's 35 and coming off of a major knee injury, but he still looks like Sproles. It's crazy. So I think that he's going to be ready. Jordan Hicks has come back and looks better than I've seen him. Of course, we know him staying healthy is the main key, but he looks great, and I anticipate him being in the lineup and doing nice things while healthy. But I don't think it applies to everybody. Brandon Graham is one that I continue to monitor. I feel like every time I check in on Graham, the date gets pushed back for when he's going to be available. When I checked earlier in the offseason, it was, you know, probably training camp, and then when I checked in around training camp, it was, well, probably week one, and when I checked in yesterday, you know, at least there is some thought that it might take longer than week one for Graham to actually be ready. And that's not to say that's definitely going to play out that way. I mean, Graham's going to be pushing to try to get in there, and we'll see. We still have a couple weeks to play with here. But I'm not confident that he's a slam dunk, let's put it that way, for week one. And then Alshon Jeffrey, I think the timeline has always been that he is not necessarily going to be ready for Atlanta. So that's another one that we have to monitor.
I was going to ask you about that because of the Ian Rappaport report that said he could be on the PUP list. Do you see that?
No, I mean, I guess I would be surprised if it ends up playing that way, because checking in on it, there's nothing that's really changed with Jeffrey's status. I mean, I think really from the jump, when he had the rotator cuff surgery, there was always a chance that he wasn't going to be ready for the start of the regular season. And in theory, you know, that could drag on for a little bit past that. But if you put him on regular season PUP, that means he has to miss the first 6 weeks of the regular season. And that seems extreme to me. Is it possible? I suppose it's possible, but you know, I would be a little bit surprised if that injury kept them out for the first 6 weeks of the season, because then all of a sudden you're talking about, well, they're getting close to the bye, so is he going to miss half the year? And that just wasn't really the vibe that had been sent out on Jeffrey, that he would be missing that much time. So I would be a little bit surprised if he ends up on PUP.
T-Mac, Tim McManus with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. He does an incredible job, whether it's writing about this team, reporting on this team on SportsCenter, covering this team. He's also a great football man. I've always loved your football acumen, T-Mac. So I want to ask you about what has me real excited offensively is the certain packages that they could put in. We were talking about this yesterday. And so I can envision when they're in 12 personnel and you got Ertz and Goddard, who are the both kind of fleet foot, just good hands, and you could put Sproles in the slot or actually flank him out wide. How do you defend that? Because, you know, you could do so many different things off of that package that, because if you just go nickel, they'll just run on you. And if you don't go nickel, you're at a death mismatch.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And the, you know, bringing in Dallas Goedert has the potential to really do some damage to opposing defenses. I mean, it's when you are watching him out in practice, it's really tough to figure out who is Zach Ertz and who is Dallas Goedert. And okay, maybe that's one because one is 86 and one is 88. But it's also because they have the same body type and they move similarly. And I think when you're talking about Goddard, you know, he's actually come in bigger than Zach Ertz was when he was a rookie. And he has looked like he's belonged really since day one. Maybe there was a rookie day jitter in the first day of OTAs, but since then he's really jumped in and looked the part. And I think when you're talking about guys that size with Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert paired with somebody like Alshon Jeffrey, who's also a big target, that gives Carson Wentz a lot of options in that 12 personnel, especially down in the red zone. And then to your point, we know the way that Doug Peterson mixes up this offense with the different packages and the RPO looks that really puts strains on defenses. I mean, and adding Mike Wallace, I think, is another thing we need to look at too, because this is a guy with a deep threat that's probably going to be a more productive player than Torrey Smith. So you've added two key pieces to an already potent offense that was third last year, points scored. You know, if Wentz gets up and rolling, you know, this offense could be rolling right alongside it.
You know, I was a big DeFilippo guy. I thought really bright, bright guy. But I'm equally bullish on Mike Groh. And I think Mike Groh, as the offense coordinator with Doug, is going to be a real strength. I love what he did with the receivers last year. I love his mind. He's the son of a coach. He's got, he reminds me of the kind of the Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan mode. I like him a lot, Timmy. Have you gotten to know him?
A little bit. And the first time, from the first time that I met him, he's impressive. I mean, the first thing you take away is like, this guy really seems like he knows what he's talking about. And you saw that with the production of the wide receivers last year. And Anthony, I thought it was really telling that when they were making the decision as to who was going to be the offensive coordinator, Deuce Staley is a longtime member of this organization, a loyal guy who's done a really good job both as a player and as a coach. And I think that the easy move for the organization would have been to elevate him to offensive coordinator. It says something that they decided to go with Mike Groh instead, because I think that Staley would have been, you know, a good candidate for the job. They thought that, but they just saw something in Groh last year where he was helping not only with the wide receivers, but in the game planning, was working with Frank Reich and DeFilippo and Doug Peterson and helping formulate game plans that were very successful. They just thought that he had to get that job. And so I agree. I think that, you know, Reich, when you start losing guys like DeFilippo and Frank Reich, you need to have guys underneath them that fill in as quality to make sure you don't have too much of a drop off. And I think that they're pretty well set up with Mike Groh and even a young Press Taylor as the quarterback's coach.
Timmy, how do you see the running back situation playing out? I would assume that Ajayi, Sproles, Clement are like your three guys come game day. But then after that, Josh Adams might be able to make the team? Is it Donnell Pumphrey somehow incorporated in that group? How do you see it playing out?
Well, I think that, you know, as we look for the rest of the preseason games for some meeting, that's where you can find it, is places like that where they're battling for those fourth running back spots. You know, Josh Adams, yesterday's a great example of what Josh Adams is and kind of the obstacle that he has to overcome. So they were doing pass pro drills inside the bubble yesterday at NovaCare, and Nigel Bradham comes in at full force, and Adams stiffs him in pass pro, and Deuce Staley just starts going crazy, you know,
wow.
Like, it's so excited the way that Adams performed there. And then a couple beats later, he catches a ball near the goal line. He runs in for a touchdown. But at the end of that run, he starts wimping and leaves the field. You know, and he's got the big knee brace on him. He's had some knee injuries in the past. He was dealing with a foot injury during the OTA portion. We didn't get to see him at all. So I think health might be really the deciding factor when it comes to somebody like Josh Adams. And then, you know, Wendell Smallwood's a name that has gotten lost. But the coaches have been pumping him up a little bit recently, saying that he's flashed and that Dave Phipp is using him in most of his core special teams, which makes you think, okay, a guy that seemed to be on the outside looking in, does he actually have a shot? And then, you know, Pumphrey is somebody that they're invested in, and he's looked better than he did last year. There's no question about that. But then, you know, he misses the opening preseason game with a lower body injury, and we don't know when we're going to see him again. So
yeah.
I think that, you know, the rest of the preseason is going to help dictate who wins that job.
T-back, let's look quarterback. So we're still on target for Carson, for Atlanta. And let's talk also behind him. What do you think of Sudfeld?
Well, I'm not positive that Wentz is definitely on target for week
okay.
one. I think that that's kind of up in the air still. I know
okay.
from his side, you know, he's got that check mark. I mean, I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
I feel great. I mean, he feels himself, and he looks the part. The last two practices in particular, I think he's looked as fluid as I've seen him all off season. And sometimes it's hard to tell that he's coming off of an ACL injury. So I think that all of those signs are really positive. But you do have an organization that recognizes that this is like the most important thing they have going. And
yeah.
if they screw it up,
yeah.
then that, you know, that can set them back like forever. So I'm not positive he's going to be cleared, but I know that he's still pushing for it. Yeah, and then I think Foles has rounded back from those neck spasms. He's fine, and then Sudfeld's your number three, even though your boy Hackenberg's in the fold now.
I know. I like the idea. Look, Nick goes after next year, he'll leave, and then you see what you can get. If you can rebuild him, and look, Doug knows how to get do quarterbacks, right? So does, you mentioned Press Taylor and Mike Groh. I mean, that's the kind of guy. Look at his size. Look at his arm strength. I don't know. Maybe you rebuild him into something.
Yeah, and really, if you look at it, like, do you want to have somebody like Joe Callahan on your practice squad trying to build him up, or do you want somebody that has the ability as a Hackenberg in there? And when you look at it from that angle, I think it makes a whole lot of sense. And Hackenberg has been working with a quarterback training coach since January, and he said that they've done 85 two-a-days since January
wow.
trying to fix his mechanics. I mean, he's been going hard trying to fix his mechanics, lower body, which he says is cleaning up inefficiencies, and his upper body, they're trying to make the throw more compact and shorter. And let's see how it plays out. I mean, I think it's a long way to go, but the Eagles are in a position where, all right, we're fine at 1, 2, and 3 on our quarterback depth chart, and let's put a guy in Hackenberg that has some upside and see if we can turn him into an asset. So when you really think about it, that makes some sense to at least.
Oh, yeah. Big time. No, big time. And I like what they did with Sudfeld. I think Sudfeld has a future.
But he's showing some things. He certainly has some traits that are positive. I mean, the fact that he's basically the same size as Nick Foles,
yeah.
maybe a little bit bigger.
He
and
moves
he can move well.
Well. Yeah.
You know, we saw the arm strength. He can get it downfield.
Mm-hmm.
To Shelton Gibson. in that preseason opener, and they like what they've seen out of him. I would say that the way that they pump him up versus kind of what we've seen this summer in that preseason opener maybe don't match up totally, where, you know, you'd like to see a little bit more. But obviously they have a really skilled, trained eyes on him, and they like what they see. And, yeah, I mean, as far as number three goes, especially, Anthony, and potential number two after Foles leaves, I think he could do worse.